Good evening, everyone. I want to call this meeting to order at 7:01. Roll call, please.
Trustee Barry is absent. Picaro.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Esaias here. Olson.
Here.
Boyer.
Here.
Daney.
Here. Pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do you have any town hall?
Ladies, would you like to say anything? No? Town hall? No. Anybody want to make a comment? No, no town hall.
Nice to see you, ladies. Thank you for joining us. Okay, moving on. The consent agenda. Items to be included as listed. Is there anyone that wants to be removed? Trustee Olson.
Yes, I'd like to remove item 1A, minutes from the July 15th Committee of the Whole. 1B, minutes from the July 15th Regular Board Meeting. 1C, minutes from the August 5th Special Board Meeting. Item E, transfer to, from the NOW account to the general checking account. And item F, approval of transfer of funds from NOW savings account to checking account.
All right, anyone else want to remove anything? Then let's start with 1A.
All right. On 1A, I'd like to move to amend the minutes of the July 15th meeting as a whole, meeting in the five, by making the following corrections. On page one, public present, last line, need to insert both Ivy Group and name of the person present via phone. And on page three, the second paragraph, line two, we need to add the name of the person from the Ivy Group.
Can you repeat that one?
On page, I'll give you these, Caroline.
Oh, okay.
On page three, under the second paragraph, line two, add the name of the person from the Ivy Group who was present on the phone.
Okay.
I don't know that we know that, but we need to reach out to that because, to them, because we should never permit a party to speak at a board meeting without having an identity attached to that individual.
Is that it?
Those are the minute changes that I wanted to make on the July 15th Committee of the Whole.
Okay, may I have a, you going to make that a motion?
On the.
Do you want to make a motion?
You want to make a motion for 1A?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to make the changes that I proposed regarding the July 15th Committee of the Whole meeting.
Second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Trustee Barry absent. Picaro.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Esaias, yes. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Daney.
Yes. Okay, 1B.
1B, I'd like to move to amend the minutes of the July 15th Regular Board Meeting by making the following corrections. On page seven, second paragraph, line two, where we're talking about the status of employees as far as the number of worked hours in regards to the policy that was passed that night, I want to change the word employee to employer because the way it reads now, it sounds like a large person as opposed to a large employer, which is the intent of the law. Anybody not understanding that?
I don't know where you're at on that.
Second paragraph?
On second paragraph, second line.
Yes.
This is page seven.
Yeah, I'm there.
I want to change the word employee to employer. It's the fourth or fifth word from the end of that line.
Can I clarify?
Yeah.
So you want it to read, Katie Comber stated that while there, while public entities are covered employers, no matter the employee size, you wanted to say the employer size?
The employer size, not the employee
size. I just wanted to clarify which.
Right, no, it's not the employee size, it's employer size. And that's the only correction that I'd like to make to the minutes of July 15th regular board meeting. So I will make a motion to make that amendment.
There a second?
I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Trustee Barry, absent. Carl?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes. 1C.
Okay. 1C. I want to move to table the minutes of the August 5th special board meeting in order to have them reflect what occurred at this meeting. The way that they were written is inconsistent with the way that our minutes are prepared. It did not go into any of the important information that was discussed by the board, and therefore I don't believe that this is, should be passed at this point. I'd like to send it back for redrafting and take it up at the next board. So I'm moving that we table 1C, the minutes of the special board meeting of August 5th.
I'll second that.
Roll call, then.
If I could just have a discussion, I was at that meeting.
I was too.
The notes look adequate to me. We have this difference frequently in this body where notes are a summary, not the literal transcription of every utterance of every person. That's my opinion.
And I agree with that.
Would you like me to call it now?
Sure. Please.
Trustee Barry is absent. Vicaro?
No.
DeSmit?
Yes.
Sias? No. Olson?
Yes.
Boyer?
No.
Daney?
No. So may I have a motion to accept?
No.
Okay, it's just defeated.
All right. Given that this board is not going to accept my request to table this, I want to flush it out. I want to start by talking about the things that I brought up that I think are important and need to be reflected in the minutes of this meeting.
Well, the minutes are usually just a generalization of what occurred. It was a general conversation. We don't need to have every single word that you said verbatim listed in the minutes.
There is absolutely no content to this. It would suggest that this board did no deliberation on this, considered it as simply let's pass it and move on. That was not the case. I think it's important that the record reflect that Trustee Olson asked both the village manager, Paula Schumacher, and the library's director, Carolyn Wessel, what were the provisions that the TIF regulations allowed for compensation to libraries. Neither party was able to answer that question. That needs to be part of the public record.
Well, you have it on record now.
That's the amendment I'm making.
We've already voted on your...
No, we voted only on whether to table this. We did not vote.
Okay, so your amendment, is that a motion?
Yes.
Do we have a second?
I'm going to second it. I agree. I think it was an important part of the meeting.
Because the John, roll call, please.
Trustee Barry is absent. Vaccaro?
No.
Smith?
Yes.
Zayas, no. Olson?
Yes.
Boyer?
No.
Danny?
No.
I'm sorry, you weren't at that meeting, so I don't believe you could vote.
I could abstain, but I didn't.
Yes.
Very good. Motion fails.
Motion fails. Now 1E.
1E needs to be amended. The amount that's on the budget, or that's on the agenda, is incorrect. We got an email this evening from the director indicating that she wants to change the amount being transferred from the NOW account to the general checking account. She wants to transfer $304,100. So I'm making that correction to what's listed on our agenda. That had to have been withheld. I'm surprised nobody else asked for it. Perhaps you're not reading your emails.
Well, we did read your email. We read Carolyn's email. I think the notation, and she has updated it. So sarcasm is not called for.
Well, I haven't got an updated copy of the agenda. So I'm moving to transfer $304,100 from the NOW savings account to the general checking account at Fifth Third Bank.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Trustee Barry absent. Vaccaro?
Yes.
Ms. Smith?
Yes.
Zayas, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Dane?
Yes. 1F.
F. I am moving to transfer from the savings account to the Schwab general investment account the amount of $500,000.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Yes.
Your purpose?
The updated cash summary that was provided by the director this evening shows that after the transfer of the $304,000 that we will have in the checking account, this is before any further tax collections this month, a total of $549,105 after all disbursements that she's anticipating have been made. If we transfer the $250,000, we will still have additional $250,000 from the increase from $250,000 to $500,000. We will still have in the account $299,106. If we do not reasonably invest our funds when they are available, we are not doing what is in the best interest of our taxpayers. There is now an increased difference between what we're getting paid by Fifth Third Bank. Last month it was, in June it was 0.9%. They've dropped that rate to 0.5%. If we invest the additional $250,000, it will result in an additional $909 in interest income to the library just from the additional $250,000. I do not understand the reluctance or the need to keep balances in excess of the needs of our library unless we are acting on a selfish, personal basis for some reason, and I don't think that's happened.
Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Trustee Olson makes it phenomenally difficult to back his ideas by burying in nasty, ludicrous accusations, but the content makes sense if you can remove every other piece of verbiage you wrapped around it. It makes sense to invest it in it. You just can't deliver a message without nastiness for some reason. Roll call.
Please.
Trustee Barry is absent. Bucaro?
Yes.
DeSmith?
Yes.
Zayas, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Dane?
No.
So it's 500,000 from the NOW account to the Schwab account?
Correct.
Okay. General.
General fund.
Okay, so I would like a motion, please, for the rest of the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion for the rest of the consent agenda, D, G, H, and I.
I'll second that.
Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Just very absent. Bucaro?
Yes.
DeSmith?
Yes.
Zayas, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Dane?
Yes.
And correspondence from Roger regarding our budget.
So we had two memos from Roger Ritzman. One was regarding the B&A deadline, and then the other one was an informational memo about the election of library trustees, both of which are included in your packet.
Reports, questions, and comments from the director or and or the staff.
I have one announcement to make that we have promoted Jackie Rojas, who is our graphic designer, to our full-time public relations manager. And Mallory will now be just the assistant director overseeing the public relations manager. We're very excited about it, and we are looking forward to Jackie in her new role. And then I do have a statement that I would like to make, and we as a management team are sharing this on the record. On Wednesday, July 24th, a trustee called the library and spoke with an employee. The conversation ended with the trustee asking the employee, "Are you afraid or intimidated by trustees?" And then proceeded to say, "Do not say anything about this call." This is unacceptable. We find this behavior from a trustee to a staff member to be incredibly concerning and wildly inappropriate. We view this as an intimidation tactic and have a zero tolerance for it in our workplace. For a trustee to be requesting secrecy from an employee is wrong. We want the trustees to know that we foster a trusting and safe workplace for our employees.
Reports, questions, or comments from the other trustees? Trustee Olson.
First of all, I'd like to thank Kim Weiger from former Circulation Department employee for the 17 years of service that she provided to the library and its district employees. I think 17 years is an admirable amount of time to spend with us. At the July board meeting, we had a discussion regarding the food truck that would be in our lot on Wednesdays. I happened to drive by the library on Thursday, August 15th, approximately 6 p.m., and the food truck was in our lot. I believe we were told that Wednesdays was the food truck day. Is there an explanation in terms of the variance?
No, I did not know that. We had verified the Wednesdays.
Yeah. But they were here because that was the night of the fire board meeting,
yeah.
And I drove right by them after that meeting. Second question regarding the food truck is, do we have a certificate of insurance from the food truck specifically naming the library? They are utilizing our property, and I think we have liability if we need to be named insured on a policy. Looking at the monthly statistical report, I noticed on page 3 that the year-over-year comparison that appears at the bottom of the page for the 2024 fiscal year ending fiscal 2024 was not filled out. And the numbers showed, when I did the calculation based on what's on there, that we had a total of 326,610 total checkouts, which was a decline of 2.41% for all materials year over year. Okay. Moving on, the next point I have is as a trustee, have a concern about the lack of training or policy, as evidenced by the failure of Jessica on July 5th, 2024, who signed for a package sent certified to notify the director or the individual to whom it was addressed. This failure on Jessica's part led in part to the calling of a special board meeting that I think was unnecessary. My time is valuable, and I don't appreciate it having it interrupted by the failure of staff. This is the second time that I am aware of in which I know that mail sent to the library has been mishandled by staff. The first was when a FOIA request was mishandled by the circulation department. I'm done.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anything positive?
I don't know if I have anything positive, but as your ethics officer, I'd just like to remind you all that once you are an elected official, there is very little privacy. There is everything that you say is on record. Whatever you do around town or outside of town is on record. So please keep that in mind. You represent the library, and we like to represent the library well and honorably.
Thank you, Monica. I'd like to say that the quiet space, the butterfly garden, and the sensory, wonderful, wonderful. There are times when the day gets the better of you, and it's just such a welcoming place. It's lovely. You ladies have done a beautiful job with it.
I wanted to say also, too, the butterfly garden is just beautiful. You can tell the hard work put in by the staff, and I think the community appreciates it.
And the final day for closing out the reading day for, what fun was that? That was a very hot day. That was a really hot day, and everybody had so much enthusiasm, and Sandra was running around and helping to relieve Buddy. We had, you know, Maverick here. I just want you to know, you know, everything that you do, it doesn't go past what I see and what I hear. I think you all do a great job.
Jumping on that, I was here that day with my son, and it, you know, he's little, so like he doesn't fully capture the whole thing. But I saw a lot of happy faces, and even going upstairs during the magic show, a lot of people were checking stuff out and enjoying like a mini picnic in the back. So that was super sweet to see.
Okay, nothing else being said, we'll move on to our action items. We have the approval of the amended final budget.
Yes.
All the additional.
There were three changes to the final amended budget. The first one was that we re-added the $1,500 for fines because we did not remember about the collection of things that we do fines on and video games, and I think there's one other, the kits upstairs.
Interlibrary
loans. And then the second one is that I incorrectly put a wrong number for IT's budget because of the two different drafts of versions that went out, and so we increased that one for Manny,
And then we increased the fiber optic line after Joe brought it to our attention that there was an issue with the fiber optic line. So those are the three changes that we made.
I noticed a couple typos.
Oh, okay.
On page 2 of 7, the second under. I'm sorry.
Can you send them to me? But oh, you sure, state, it, state them and then send them to me.
Okay. The FICA income, you just need the year put on there. And then page 3 of 7, there are just two typos. Under other personal expenses, the 12.9 just misspelled, and budget's misspelled at the bottom.
I have a couple of things. I'd like to understand what the reason for the increase from 24,000 in prior years to 36,000 is for the integrated library system.
Manny?
That is a migration. We are going to be doing a migration into the cloud for our ILS. This has multiple benefits, including richer SMS notifications, higher availability. It's no longer dependent, it will no longer be dependent on the power or internet connection of this building. It's going to be in the data center whose it has failover and things like that that can ensure that it stays up. I also don't have to do install monthly updates on the Windows Server myself. They'll have, again, failover, so that will be taken over while updates are installed. There's lower downtime, things like that.
Okay, thank you. The second thing I have, and yes, I did bring it up as far as the fiber optic line. However, I think we still have a problem. The fiber optic line is being budgeted at $4,500. I know that we're paying $405 a month to the state for internet service. That would be $4,860, which is higher than the $4,500. I know that we're paying $708 per month, according to the last invoice that I saw in reviewing checks, for AT&T dedicated voice and internet bundle. I also wonder if this number, whatever the number is, isn't really a reclassification of the $25,000 total.
So, fiber optic line was merely misclassified due to a switchover in staff in the business office. That has always been a non-phone service. It had been classified mistakenly as a phone service, and it is not. As far as paying AT&T and ICN, the internet connection to the library is not physically within this building. It is hosted at ICN. We are paying AT&T. It is similar to me paying you to run a line from your internet connection to my house. So that the internet connection is at ICN, and then we have a circuit from AT&T that brings it here. Right? The other AT&T, the $700-ish dollar bill, is related to our old phone service that is being discontinued. I already have the disconnect request in.
Well, but in total, isn't our budget the really $25,000 regardless of what line it's on?
The 25.
Shouldn't the telephone be 21.5 if the internet is 4,500? Totally. I'm sorry.
No, so
20,500 versus.
So actually, the internet connection itself from ICN is not under telephone or fiber optic. That is under software and maintenance 11 5801, if I remember correctly. The fiber optic line is its own budget line, and then the telephone line is its own budget line.
But this isn't
in the year, in years previous to that staff changeover, that is the way it had been, as it, that one AT&T bill, just because it was from AT&T, got misclassified.
So has the line from which this is being reduced been adjusted downward by the $4,500? Because I don't believe we're adding any new expense, are we?
Our budgetary needs for the phone, our budgetary needs for the phone line should still be around that much. You're talking, let's see, the phone service from Koyo is, will round up to about $1,000 a month. There's also POTS lines that we have at the library, which are currently about three lines, so it'd be about $600 a month plus tax. I am working on getting that down, particularly the largest part of that POTS bill is what I consider to be a completely absurd charge for what's more or less a software switch. It's the elevator line. $425 a month is what AT&T charges us for that to not have, for you not have to dial a number from the elevator phone.
That sounds like far at other libraries that I've worked at.
Yeah. So if I can get that to basically anything else, that should go down significantly.
But we don't have that here.
My question is, have we added anything that would raise the totals, regardless of the lines that they're on? Because looking at the history, $25,000 for telephone covered our expenses, and yet the $4,500 is coming from somewhere that we're already incurring the expenses. I'm just saying, have we reduced the corresponding line in the budget by the $4,500?
We did not do that.
Last fiscal year, the budget for the fiber optic line was $5,100. That will be correctly allocated. We're going to correct that budget line. So the phone line budget was calculated, unless you change something significantly with that.
No, I kept it as the same because we were unsure of how it was all going to flush out.
I mean, that's been ongoing. It's not been like that wasn't adjusted upward when the fiber optic line was mistakenly applied to that budget line. I guess I'll put it that way. So because it was never adjusted upward, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to come downward for the same reason.
But the actual expenses in 2024 fiscal year ending are $25,000.
I think we did not change it because there was the crossover of having to pay AT&T and the new company, so we kept a buffer in there.
Well, so in terms of this, that phone budget also accounted for service calls from the original old phone provider. They charged me, I want to say, $400 or $500 just to move a phone line last year, which is one of the other reasons why I wanted to get off of it. So it is entirely possible that next fiscal year we can look at our expenses, look at our history, and reduce that budget line, but for the time being, it should stay where it's at, and we'll just be happy to come in under budget.
Thank you, Manny. Good job.
I have one further comment I want to make. On the budget, at the end, it attempts to explain the source of funds for the capital equipment that exceeds our income for the year, for the general fund. But the explanation is not correct. And I just wanted, as a point of information, that the funds at the end of the fiscal year for the library for unrestricted funds, roughly $3 million. And the $620,000 that was the carryover from, it's not a carryover from 2024, is part of that number. So the funds that we're using are whatever from past budgets where we didn't expend all of our unrestricted funds. So that's it.
Anybody else? Roll call, John, please.
What are we voting on?
We're voting on action item one.
We made it to one, all right.
Yeah, we're still at one.
We need a motion.
I'm sorry, I thought we had a motion, and then Trustee Olson wanted to make changes. Don't you have a motion? All right.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Sorry.
Okay, we've already had a mounting discussion, so let's have a roll call vote.
I have to acknowledge the thirst for precise verbiage in our minutes. If anybody's captured that last rambling, non-sequential jibber-jabber, it ended in a non-statement. It's just word salad. Seconds dropping off our lives. It just happens repeatedly every month. Over and over and over again. Nothing was said. Nothing was said. It keeps happening. That's my discussion. Should I call the poll? Trustee Berry is absent. Carl?
Yes.
DeSmit?
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes. Moving on to number two, the approval of the tentative budget and appropriation ordinance 2024-2.
Motion?
Yes, Trustee Olson.
I'll move to approve it, but then I have a question.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, and your question is?
On the first line of the income, unrestricted, we have a reduction of $91,000 from what the tax assessment is that you footnote, Carolyn. Why would we reduce the amount?
From our attorney, per our discussion moments ago, you may get questions about the difference between the tax extension total of $3,913,737 and the corporate and special tax levies estimated figure of $3,822,660. Per James Howard's email this morning, the figure of 382,260 is an estimate taking into account lost and cost given history of collections.
If we receive more than that, are we restricted from not being able to utilize it?
I don't believe so.
This was approved. James, actually, I will be very forthright. James, our accountant, did the draft of the tentative BNA, and it was approved by the attorney. Mm-hmm. The attorney would not put us in a position where we were going to lose out on money.
further discussion? Second roll call, please.
Trustee Barry is absent. Vaccaro?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes. Number three, we're establishing the date and the time of the public hearing concerning the Budget and Appropriation Ordinance 2024-2 for 6 p.m. on September the 23rd.
Correct.
I'll make a motion to accept.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any more discussion?
I just want to make note that I won't be able to attend our Monday nights, so I won't go into detail, but please continue.
Roll call, please.
Barry, absent. Vaccaro?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes. Approval of the Chief Fiscal Officer Statement of Estimate Revenue.
So basically, this is the same page as the front of the tentative budget and appropriation.
Did you have a question? Or do we
I have several questions. My understanding from what's included in the board packet is that we have to post this as part of all of the statements that are posted within 3 calendar days of this meeting. Trustee Barry's not here this evening to sign this. It requires his signature. Is he going to be able to execute this by the 22nd?
No, and I called the library attorney and asked him about that, and he said technically that the chief fiscal officer should sign it, but because he is not here, I'm going to reach out to him to see if I should have John Sias sign it. So we will get it posted within 3 days, whether it be John. It'll probably be John or the president.
You're going to have who sign it?
The president or the secretary?
That's permitted under state law.
She's going to speak with the attorney.
I'm going to call Roger and explain to him. I don't know if he understood that Dave was going to be gone.
Trustee Sias, were you going to say something?
When does Dave return?
We don't know what he's
scheduled. Okay.
I tend to think that maybe the secretary didn't find fine if I need to do that. We have a motion.
I even have a note. I mean, there's copies for Peggy and John to sign. Here is the for filing, no copies needed. Copies for Dave to sign when he gets back per the attorney. So I did reach out to the attorney. That's my note. I will call him tomorrow and ask him again.
I'll make a motion, as long as we're going to discuss with the attorney, the appropriate person would sign the documents.
A second?
A second.
Roll call.
Trustee Barry, absent. Vaccaro?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson?
No.
Boyer?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes. Approval of statement of cash receipts and disbursements.
This is the treasurer's report. It was completed by our accountant. It lists the revenue and then all of the expenditures.
I'd like to move to table this. I don't believe it's required to be executed this evening. I don't believe this has to be posted until November, if I recall correctly. I think this is something that our chief fiscal officer should be present to be able to answer questions.
So is there a second for the table?
Second.
Roll call, please.
I'll just say it's on tonight's agenda. I'm prepared to vote on it. I'm not worried about whether or not it's physically here. Call the vote.
Please.
Trustee Barry, absent. Carl?
Yes.
Smith?
No.
Sias, yes. Olson?
We're voting to table it?
No.
I'm sorry, we got a second. That motion.
We're voting to table it.
Yes. You made a motion to table it, then seconded it. No.
My mistake.
Yeah,
we're voting to table.
You said something different than
yeah, right. my mistake. The vote is to table the motion.
Okay, let's start over.
With your permission, can we
start over?
Okay. Trustee Barry absent. Motion is to table this item tonight. Carl?
No.
De Smith?
Yes.
Zias, no. Olson?
Yes.
Boyer?
No.
Dane?
No. So now may I have a motion to approve the statement of cash receipts and disbursements?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
I'm sorry, I have questions.
I'm sorry. Yes?
If we're going to consider this, I want to understand exactly what's going on with the wage and salary portion of this report. I believe that we should have in this report a wage range of 100 to 125 and then 125 and above.
We do.
So who's acting as the chief financial officer that's going to answer my question?
I said we do. We have 100 to 125 and then over 125. So it's a 75 to 99, 100 to 125, and over 125.
I stand corrected.
So, did we have a motion?
Motion.
Roll call, please.
Trustee Barry, absent. Carl?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson?
No.
Boyer?
Yes.
Dane?
Yes. Next is the approval of our annual report, the HIPWAR.
I'm going to turn over this to Mallory for questions since she was lead on this project.
I'm happy to answer any questions if there are any, but it's the same report that we do every other year, outlines all the statistical information from the library, including program numbers, staff levels, IT capabilities, that nature. So I might not be able to answer every question, but definitely most of them are going to turn in.
Wait, is there anybody else that has any questions? All right, Trustee Olson.
In my review of this report, I have actually 14 questions. I'm sorry, this wasn't sent out until Friday afternoon.
And
that's not a respectful time for the board to
We've only hit our minutes, though, on Fridays. Go ahead.
On page 1, line 122A, it has the question, did the administrative entity's legal service boundaries change during the past year?
The first little block at the top, is that what you're going to, the one that says no value added?
No.
Right.
Yeah, so right at the top, before you go through each one of those, that is when I click verify on EFLAR to make sure all the data matches across the whole report. That is where the secretary, John Sayas.
No. This is the boundaries. The physical boundaries of the district is a question. And there's no answer.
What number?
122A.
So it says
above that all these require an answer.
So there are certain blocks in the IFLAR software, I'll call it the software, that you're not allowed to fill out. That is one of them. So I click verify to go back to what I was just saying. At the end of filling out the report to make sure there are no missing entities like that, there's no data that doesn't match. It even yells at me if the numbers are too far off from the year before. So any issues that would have arose from that would have been blocked off at the top in the packet. I'm sure you guys can see where it has like the secretary didn't sign it, the president didn't sign it. So that's something I'm not allowed to edit. So there is no answer for you to put there.
Okay.
It's just like a blocked off, grayed off area for you.
I also just want to add, like, before you submit IFLAR, it's as an entirety, if you miss something, it will yell at you. It will tell you you missed 1.22A. Go back to 1.22A.
But there are certain things that it just doesn't even let you edit. So there's no way for me to put it information.
But, you know, I will remind everyone that the board is being asked to approve this. If it's not complete,
she's telling you it's complete.
How can we approve it?
So this is completed. This is a verified through IFLAR, through their software. This is verified that everything has been correct and accurate. There was no way for me to enter. It is literally like a gray block. I can't even click on it.
Okay. On page 7, line 7.9, the amounts shown as far as excess funds only totaled $2,428,035, whereas the July financial statements reflect an accumulated surplus of $3,963,877, which is $1.5 million difference. I think that's a material difference. Needs to be explained.
We took it from the July.
We took it from the July financial report. The final. I don't have it in front of me, but you might have
this report is as of our fiscal year
June 30th.
Correct?
Yes.
June 30th. And I'm just telling you what's on the balance sheet. This shows surplus, which would be from all sources, restricted and otherwise, $3,963,000. So that line is questionable. On page 9, lines 8.13 and 8.4, have the amounts been consistently recorded year to year? I suspect that the gifts and donations line reported for 2024 may include funds included in the other receipts line in 2023.
I'm sorry, can you repeat where you're at?
Page 9, lines 8.13 and 8.14. Mm-hmm. I'm asking, have the amounts been consistently reported year to year? When you have a $38,000 contribution in the current year, which is the first column, correct? It's 24, and $11,000 the prior year. I have to ask if that is accurate.
I use the same budget.
Consistent.
I use the consistent line item in the financial report the year prior to the year I just did. I've only done IFLAR 2 years in a row, so I have like a little IFLAR key that tells me what number goes to which item on the financial report. So I use the same item from each year to year. So yes, they are coming from the same point of the financial report.
Okay. On page 10, line 9.2A, fringe benefit shows an increase of $53,000, while salaries only increased $89,000. Does that make sense? Did we really increase benefits to our employees that disproportionately from our total wages?
That would take into account health insurance.
And we had two speakers.
I take it from the same line item. Again, just going back to that point, I take it from the same line item. We did have an increase in staff, some of those full-time people. People moved from part-time to full-time, so there are a lot of people who have increased health benefits that might have affected that number.
All right, on page 12 in the listing of positions filled, it shows a teen service librarian. Is this accurate as of the end of the fiscal year? I'm not sure when Anastasia left, but to my knowledge, she's the only teen librarian that we have, correct?
So you're saying the librarian vacancies area? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it shows in that listing of positions.
Well, I'm asking and trying to clarify where you're at, so I'm on the same page. So you're saying under librarian vacancies?
Right.
The teen services, yes. So this is at the end of the fiscal year. Anastasia had left in June, I believe. Or sooner than that, April.
So it's not yet fulfilled.
So I think that's wrong.
No, we're listing it as a vacancy. Yeah, it's a vacancy as of the end of the fiscal year. End of the fiscal year, it was a vacancy. So this represents what our staff looked like as of June 30th, 2024. That was still a vacancy at that point. It still is a vacancy.
Isn't this the part that shows filled positions?
No, this is vacancy. Positions vacant on the last day of the fiscal year for which there was an active search while a position remained vacant.
We're not looking at the same page, obviously.
I'm lost too, so if you could repeat the page and the number, that would be helpful to us.
On
Are you talking about under personnel group A? Because I do see that we had listed the two services librarian there as well.
Under group A.
Yes, okay. So yes, I do see what you're saying. And we can remove that one. Because it should be at the end of the fiscal year.
I believe we have a vacancy in that position.
Yes, I'm saying.
And we're not reflecting it correctly in this report.
Yes, and I said I can remove it.
On page on that same page in the listing of filled positions, on the last line it shows no job title but shows a department for children's services with a full-time equivalent of 37 and a half hours.
That's a mistake.
And then the line following that has 8 hours of 37 and a half hours with no staff title or department.
I can remove that. That was a mistake.
So on that same page, on line 13 and a half, it shows total group A of 15 FTEs, which I think the calculation with these changes probably will be different.
Yes, it auto-calculates in the system. So
On page 14, where programs are listed, it is a line labeled general interest. What does that mean? I have no idea. And, you know, quite frankly, when we approve this, I personally don't approve stuff that I don't understand.
So general interest would be anything that appeals to the general community. Things that don't necessarily have an age limit, like library movie night, the end of the summer reading celebration, when we host our Halloween spectacular, things of that nature that kind of just don't really fall in adult or youth services, but go to the general interest of the community.
So we had 31 of those events during the course of the year that had 471 attended.
Yes, and we started counting those events because we did not count programs in that way before, which left previous year you can see it was reported at zero. And then you can see that there's little notes next to it because Ifler was yelling at me that there was such a dramatic difference in the numbers that I had to make a note explaining that exact thing. So Ifler does cross-check.
Yeah. All right, on page 15, line 16.6 asks that the board has adopted a policy to waive fees for non-residents under 18. Is this something that the board should be considering?
Well, we just went fine free.
No, no, this is...
Oh, library.
Non-resident youth.
Yes.
And I think there's an initiative statewide, isn't there, for youth access to libraries?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a discussion of the board.
I don't think that there's very many areas that we have that need. So in the past, we have not
done it. Yeah, we have zero non-resident
cards. Well, we know that, like, Wayne is not in any library district. It's an immediately adjacent community. And I know that there are students that go to Wayne Elementary that would be drawn from, I believe, that geographic area. So perhaps this is something that we should be considering. Okay. On page 16, line 18.4 shows numbers which are substantially lower than what is reported on the circulation statistics report that the board receives. IPLAR shows 303,147 visits versus the 326,600 shown on our board report. Can you account for the difference?
Absolutely. So when the total checkouts is listed on this monthly report, that includes Flipster, Tumblebooks, Freegle. Those do not count in that section of IPLAR. So those totals include all of our physical materials as well as Overdrive and Hoopla, and that is it.
If I recall correctly, there's a section there that talks about how to count electronic media.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're saying that the 21,000 difference is accounted for somewhere else?
Absolutely. So if you look later on the report, we have two different lines for electronic materials. We have 1811, which is use of electronic materials. That is going to be the Hoopla and Overdrive. And then two down is successful retrieval of electronic information. And that's going to be the rest of the databases not included in those previous two.
Okay. On page 17, line 19.1 shows an increase in annual reference transactions of 14,461, an increase of 61.2%.
Circulation was not tracking any reference transactions, but by definition, reference transactions help helping someone find a book, looking up a book in Polaris, just helping somebody on the computer doing something. Circulation provides a lot of those transactions. So me, Phyllis, Sandra, and Mary all met together to make a consistent way of tracking reference
statistical data, and so circulation has since been tracking that data, which is why it's increased. Because they do a lot of work.
I think it would be informative if at a future board meeting we could get some idea of what the breakdown is of those numbers in terms of, you probably have some general categories of what those numbers are.
What do you mean by category?
Well,
of like what type of reference transaction, of like
what, right, what kind of reference questions, you know, whether it's a request for assistance with a computer.
We don't break down our reference transactions to that degree, just it's very time consuming.
I think that circulation counts those, don't they?
We have general reference, computer health, one-on-one tutorial.
Okay. On page 17, line 21-3, it shows a monthly internet cost of $762, up from $405 the prior year. Is this number correct?
That is accounting for the cost of the fiber optic line, which is required to get internet access.
Well, but we changed it year to year. Did we change it to the right number is the question.
It is the cost of that particular AT&T bill plus the cost of what we're paying to ICN.
Okay. And on page 18, lines 25.1 and 25.2 require answers pertaining to the review of the secretary's minutes. Have those been completed?
They have been.
Okay. And those are my questions. Thank you.
We'll make those changes to the staffing area. That was my mistake. We were going back and forth between the end of the fiscal year and just trying to sort out who is here and who is not. So that was a typo on my mistake.
I think you did a fantastic job, Mallory.
Yeah. Please have no concern about that.
To put together.
It wasn't just me. The questions to everybody else, and they sent me the answers.
For sure. But this is no walk in the park.
No, I agree.
Spoken by a true lender. So,
I need a motion to approve the annual report, IPLA report, with the suggested corrections. Is that a motion?
Did you make a motion?
Yes, I so moved.
And I'll second it.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Trustee Barry, absent. Vaccaro.
Yes.
DeSmit.
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Daney.
Yes. And now our programming policy.
Mallory, would you like to address this, please?
Yeah, we've just been reviewing all of our policies and realized that we don't have a programming policy. Programming is a very essential thing that we do at the library. It's like one of the pillars of what we do. So I thought it was important to have one. Explain the criteria for which we host programs, host presenters, work with outside groups, the right to cancel a program should we have to, things like that. That just feels essential. So,
So this is just a request for creating a program policy?
Yeah.
Trustee Olson.
I'd like to make a motion to table this. The reason for that is that one of the things that I think very strongly needs to be done before we pass such a policy is that we need to adopt a DEI policy for the library. There's vague reference in here to things like limitations of space and things of that nature, but I think it needs to be included in the policy as a specific reference to our stance as a library. So I'm moving to table this policy at this time. I'm not opposed to having a policy of this nature, but I want to make sure that in place are the underlying things that are going to help govern the application.
So we had those in-services, Carol. Did we put anything together for DEI? Remember we all had that education? Did we put anything in the program?
So there's a motion on the floor to table this. Is there a second? Not hearing a second, the motion is failed. So I'd like a motion to approve the programming policy.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Trustee Barry, absent. Vicaro?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson?
No.
Boyer?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes. Moving on, we have discussion items on the two beautiful additions to our library. And the director's report is for information only.
Carolyn, do you want to mention Island in the director's report?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Sorry, hold on.
You don't have to. I'm going to put my
No, so basically what happened was we had one trustee pay for their ILA registration with a credit card, so we reimbursed them, and then we had another trustee bill the library for the registration. And so what I want to emphasize is that in September, any trustee that's attending the library conference, come and fill out that paperwork. You can get it from us in admin that has every estimate cost that you could possibly think of, so that we have it on file of what the estimate is. And then in October, the conference happens, and then come back in November with all of your receipts, so that it's not, except for this example, the one error, you know, we did bill with the one that we had here, but everybody's going to be consistent with their receipts. So we just want to make sure that you do it within a certain amount of time, because if mileage changes, you know, all of that, and we want to be as transparent as possible with the passage.
We just want each person to have one sum, so that you fill out the expense report, the anticipated expense report once with all your anticipated expenses, so it's one lump sum, and then when you come back, you fill it out with your actual expenses, so then it's one lump sum, and we're not getting a little registration here, a little travel here, a little meal over here. It's all just like one.
It gets, boom, 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 it boom, gets boom, hard boom. To follow if it's all separated. So
that's all that we have to do.
On the trustee expense report, which I received from Mallory, on the second page, it says employee signature. It doesn't say trustee, it says employee.
We were gonna create one sheet that the staff and the trustees just bold and just express there. So that's something that we're
I mean there's a form that says trustee at the top of it. But on the second page it says employee.
Both corrected. That was made by previous employees, so we're amending it in general just to make sure we include a spot for people with their registration and really outline each bit and bob.
Just a friendly reminder too about this. I'm sorry.
So the question I have is, I use the expense report as my estimates report. Mm-hmm. There's a separate form.
You can use that one for right now because we're still trying to work that out. That's the one that has been used in the past.
Thank you.
Reminder, there will be a committee of the whole meeting, a special meeting for the space needs assessment at 6 o'clock prior to our regular board meeting. And then we will also be having the budget
and appropriation hearing on the 23rd, and President Danny will need to make sure that we have a quorum because it's due the 24th.
So we hate, and sorry for the inconvenience, but please make yourself available.
Joe has a question.
Yes.
I would like to suggest that we have the meeting regarding the space needs analysis with the architect on the 23rd as opposed to the 16th. The reason for that is this. On the 16th, we're meeting for public hearing at 6 p.m. Then we will follow that with a regular board meeting at 7 o'clock because we have to schedule a time to do that.
The public hearing on the 23rd is the short and 6 o'clock. So are you saying that you want the space needs on the 23rd instead of the 16th?
Yes, and the reason I suggest that is that I do not believe that an hour will be adequate time for everyone to be able to speak about what they are looking for the library.
We can reach out to Dan and Tiffany and see if they're available. If not, what we can do is work with them to provide a questionnaire to the trustees, and we can send that out to the trustees, and you can respond to that if we have to hold it on the 16th.
And that was indeed the work for them with their schedules.
I think the problem with that is
for the 23rd.
That each of us is apt to feed off of ideas that others bring up. And I think that it's important, you know, this is something we don't do every year. This has not been done in, 12 years? That we have the opportunity, because we're not going to do it again next year, to have open dialogue about what we're seeing, what we think, what we would like to see. And I think each of us have our own perspectives on that. And I think each of us would learn from that active, interactive dialogue as opposed to having it summarized by a third party and points being missed. And I think there's synergy to having an active dialogue.
We can reach out to them and see if they're available.
Yeah, the 16th is the date that worked for them, so 6 o'clock is the time that worked for them, so we can reach out. I think, as we said before, I understand what you're saying, is that like sometimes ideas generate once you just start having that open discussion, but if you have ideas prior to that, to write them down so you don't get to that point, then we can still share it to them so that doesn't happen.
Well, it also isn't about us and our thoughts. It's staff and the managers that your input is what's most important. You are the ones that spend the time here. You know what you would like to see. You know, it's fine for us to make suggestions, but next year, who knows who's going to be here? 4 years from now, who knows? You know, so it's you're the ones that are filling this space, and your input is what's really important.
And we're going to be meeting with all staff, and then we're going to be having management meetings, and then they're going to be meeting with the departments, and then we're going to be doing a community survey. So I think we've got it covered. And a community meeting.
The meeting with the trustees is really, you know, to talk about what your vision is for the library, not to be, we haven't figured out the details of like a community survey and things like that. So this discussion is strictly for
brainstorming.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you can't get your ideas together in under an hour, some combination of disorganization, myopia, there's no need. Many ways to have our voices heard and feeding your questions ahead of time is a really good one.
So it's definite for the 16th. Check on the 23rd. Yes, if they can't make it, then we'll just keep it the 16th.
That being said, can I get a motion to close this so we can go into executive session as permitted by
5ILCSA Section 2-3-1, appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of a specific employee of the public body or legal counsel.
I make a motion.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Perry, absent. Picaro.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Daney.
Yes. 821.
And I'm requesting that Mallory and Katie stay.
We're going back into regular session at 8:27. Roll call, please.
Trustee Barry, absent. Picaro.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Sias, here. Olson.
Here.
Boyer.
Here.
Daney.
Here. Any new business? Hearing none? Yeah. Any town hall? Okay. Motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Barry, absent. Picaro.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Daney.
Yes. Thank you, one and all.